Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Well, welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Today, talking with Tony Stone. He's the head coach of the Montana State Billings women's softball team. Just got back from a four-game road swing in Monmouth, Oregon against Western Oregon. Tony, this is interesting. These are, boy, it's awful early in the season. You know, I mean, you guys are sitting at 9-7 now, 2-2 in the GNAC, and already, your first conference games on the road are against the teams picked 1-2 in the conference. I mean, this was a big series for you.
Yeah, you know, going in, I think Western Oregon, we knew they were going to be a tough team. Especially on the road. It's our longest road trip of the season. So we knew it was going to be a tough task for us. But, it came out a little flat that first day. Had good pitching. We just didn't have the offense that we like. And lost two pretty decent games. I mean, they were close, but maybe not as close as what the scores were showing there. I think, offensively, we just didn't get it done. The next day, we certainly started out with a bang. We had a two-run home run by Steph Goslin, and then Becca Sazza with her home run right after that in the first inning kind of set the tone for the rest of the day. And then we picked up two wins on that second day. And, it was a good feeling. You know, we didn't have any energy on Saturday. We were, waiting for something to happen. And on Sunday, we made things happen. And I think that's our brand of ball. We like to put the pressure on the other team rather than putting it all on us.
This is almost more of a statement than even a question, but it'll get to that, so bear with me. I've noticed something, and certainly we saw it years ago when you were not that long ago, but when you were an assistant here at MSUB under Jeff. This was a team that really built its string. Obviously, you had great pitching with Enos and everything else, but it was a team that put up a lot of runs offensively. After the coaching changes, we saw a little bit more small ball from the Yellow Jackets. I've noticed something, and not just with MSUB. I've sort of noticed it throughout college ball, and I think even prep ball, that it seems like there's a little bit more emphasis on long ball, not necessarily talking about home runs, but hitting the gaps, hitting doubles. That's something that you really wanted to kind of bring back to the Yellow Jackets, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not necessarily gone in terms of small ball in softball. It's still there, and I think it's a very prevalent part of the game, especially when you're facing really good pitching. I think you have to be very efficient with the game, but I also think that there's a time and a place for it. And in this day and age where student athletes are just becoming bigger, stronger, and they can hit the ball a lot farther, bat technology has helped out a lot. You have to be able to compete with that. You have to be able to adapt to that part of the game. Hitters are becoming better. I think there's, maybe a misperception out there right now that the pitching in softball is becoming worse, for lack of a better phrase. I don't believe that. I think hitters are just becoming better. Hitting has become a very studied art, if you will. There's a lot of hitting coaches out there now. Used to be there just a lot of pitching coaches out there. And, pray to God that a few of your runners will get on and you bunt them over and maybe a pass ball scores and you win a ball game 1-0. Well, anymore, I think hitting has just become so much more coached, so much more studied. It's a science that has become a very big part of the game. And with the way athletes are bigger and stronger now, I think you have to be able to, play with those athletes. You have to be able to hit with them. If you're down 7-1 and all you can do is bunt the ball, well, you're going to be in some trouble. So, we like to think that way offensively. Not to give a whole lot away about our strategy, but we steal a lot of bases. We do a lot of hit and run. And I've got the hitters in my lineup that I think are, very good contact hitters that can hit with some power that, rather than just moving a base runner one base at a time, we like to move base runners two, possibly three bases at a time. So, yeah, you're right. It's definitely a bigger part of the game, and I think if you want to be able to compete at this level, you have to be able to coach your hitters and have your hitters do some things, as you said, hit the gaps, hit the long ball. Things such as that, so that you can be competitive.
You do bring up an interesting point, though, and you alluded to it. I'll be the first one to admit that I, you know, every time I watch the game, I learn a little bit more. But one thing I do understand, if they can't score, they can't win, you know. So, I mean, it will always be a pitcher's game. And certainly, you know, with the solid pitching you have here at MSUB, particularly with the numbers you have, I would think that you got to feel pretty comfortable because this is a long season.
You know, and with our 40-game conference schedule, playing, you know, four games every weekend against the same team, I think it is even a little bit more of an advantage for us in that we have four pitchers that at any time can go into the game, either start or relieve, and get it done for us. So I think that's a very big plus for us. We've got two senior pitchers, Lisa Moore and Becca Sata, and we've got two freshman pitchers, Casey Condor and Josie Grotbo, and they're all four of them. They're able to do exactly what we need them to do at any given time. So, you know, as far as our pitching staff goes, I think we're very solid. And, you know, just like you said, if you don't score runs, you don't win ball games. Well, our pitching staff has worked very hard to prevent the other team from doing that. So, yeah, I really like what we've got in our pitching staff this year.
You know what I really like about what you just said, though? Two seniors, two freshmen. And the reason I like it is because, you know, coaches can only do so much. And I think a coaching staff is obviously only successful as the players underneath them. And I think in this situation, you've got two senior pitchers that have been here for 4 years. You know, they kind of know the ins and outs of college ball, which is frankly is different than prep ball, just the strategies and everything else, I'm sure, to some extent. I would imagine that they can do some of that policing, those seniors, and some of that coaching, and that's got to help out the younger girls as well.
We ask that on a daily basis of our upperclassmen, you know, bring the freshmen along, bring them to the point with which they need to be in order to compete at this level. All of our seniors have done a tremendous job, I guess, you know, initiating the freshmen. And, you know, we've got a pretty large freshman crew this year, and we needed that this year. I have, you know, three coaches on my staff, but even still, we need that leadership from the seniors. We need them to show the freshmen, you know, how we do things here. So that when they do graduate, they know exactly what I want from them the following year. And another very helpful aspect is those seniors can, you know, relate to the freshmen, you know, how their year went when they were freshmen. You know, this is how things were. This is how we did things. Now it was with a different coach, but you know, being a freshman is being a freshman no matter where you're at, no matter who the coach is. It's a tough year, no doubt. First time away from home, living on your own, being a student athlete. There's a lot of things going on there. And the seniors, like I said, have done a great job in helping them make that adjustment to life on their own and to being a collegiate student athlete.
When we come back on the second part of the coach's show, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look back kind of at the season thus far and sort of a look ahead. The Yellow Jacket Coach's Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company.
Bring it home. The Billings Gazette offers Billings and the surrounding area sports fans more coverage on local and national sports, news, and information than any other source. The Gazette works hard to deliver updates and breaking news, both in print and on BillingsGazette.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't miss a single day. Call 657-1298 today to subscribe.
And welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with Tony Stone. Taking a look at the year so far, here you are 9-7 overall, 2-2 record in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Should be noted, all those games, of course, on the road. Don't actually play at home until March 13th, which isn't that far away. But Tony, taking a look at recent history, and frankly, the general history of Montana State Billings, there's no two ways around it. You have to open up with a lot of games on the road, 9-7, particularly when you take a look at last year. And I don't think there's any question that what kept you out of the postseason was the fact that you guys had struggled on the road earlier in the season. And I think unjustly, by the way, from a fan standpoint, I thought you should have been in there. But nonetheless, 9-7, particularly with the competition you played, not too bad.
Yeah, I'm happy with that because, any coach will tell you, when you're out on the road for that long, if you can stay at 500 or above, you're happy with that. But that being said, I think there's a few ball games that we have lost that maybe in our minds we probably should have won. And I think that's part of the reason, you know, that people can say it is so tough out on the road. Maybe a couple of those games could have gone either way, of course, but overall, I think there's, you know, a chance of us being 10-6, 11-5, or even better. So I'm happy with 9-7 right now. You know, again, that many games on the road, to be above 500, it's a positive. But I don't think this team is satisfied with that. And with the attitude that they've displayed, I really agree with that. I like that sort of thinking that, hey, we can be better than this. And I agree that, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, road games are always going to be tough. But I think if you're the better team, regardless of where you play, you still got to play the game. You still got to play the game to the best of your ability. And I don't think we're quite there yet. That's kind of exciting for me because I feel like I'm starting to see it. We have a few hitters in our lineup right now that when they're in the batter's box, they're just going to get it done. We get a few more of those kids to find that sort of attitude, and I really like our chances. It's a good feeling to know that, you know, right now not everybody's clicking. Our pitching and our defense have kept us in some games. We've won a lot of close ball games, lost a few close ball games. And that's with us not playing our best ball yet. So when we do arrive at that point, when we are playing our best, you know, regardless if we're on the road or if we're at home, I'm excited to see what we can do.
Yeah, you know, taking a look at just what's happened so far, you know, there's maybe three games that kind of stick out. Davis and Elkins, I know, a program that's struggled at the Division II level. You won that one 11-0. There was one loss in there to San Francisco State 6-0, and then you beat Western New Mexico 11-2. But taking a look at every one of those other games, I mean, I got to believe this put some gray hairs on your head.
Well, I'll have to give away one of my beauty secrets, but I'd dye that gray hair out. one of the games that sticks out for me right now is Dixie State. In my opinion, probably one of the best teams we've played to date. They had great pitching, great defense, and they had some hitters that you really wanted to be careful how you pitch to them. And we went into the seventh inning with a lead on that team. We gave it up. Just a couple of balls didn't bounce our way. They had some timely hits, and they ended up beating us. Well, you know, that game right there, I think, you know, playing to the level of competition, Dixie State's a great program. When they were at the junior college level, they were pretty dominant. And they made the jump to NCAA Division II and kept up that tradition of being a very good softball team. And, you know, to play with them as well as we did, that ball game could have gone either way. And I thought at that point, I thought that, you know, we're going to do some good things this year, but, you know, those are the ball games that we need to win if we want to make it to the postseason. I think eventually we will get to that point, but another game that sticks out is Eastern New Mexico. Again, held the lead in the seventh inning, you know, gave up two back-to-back home runs to lose it. It was heartbreaking, but I think there's a lot that we can learn from those experiences, you know, how to close the game out, to keep the pressure on the other team rather than putting it on ourselves. So, you know, yeah, we've had a couple of blowouts. We've only been, you know, blown out by one team, San Francisco State. You know, a game that, you know, was, give them all the credit in the world. They hit the ball. They were aggressive on the base path, and we just did not get it done. All the other games that have been close, like I said, could have gone either way. I think, you know, One of the teams that we played, Cal State Dominguez Hills, a very good team. We won three ball games against them. You know, they're ranked in the top 20 or like top 30 in the nation, And we played three ball games against them, and we've won them all. But they've all been very close. You know, at that time, I felt like we had that ability to close down a good team. We've got to keep that consistency in being able to close people down.
I think one of the most encouraging things I heard, too, was when the game was rained out against Humboldt, I heard how incredibly disappointed the team was. I know you would have really have liked that game in. That was the first game of the first game of the season, what a way to start out. But it's nice to know that this team wants to play the best.
Yeah, and I talk about that almost on a daily basis as far as our preparation. We prepare and we practice as if we're going to play the best team in the nation every day. So we've got to have our best game. You know, we've got to be prepared for that. And that's exactly the attitude I want this team having is, you know, bring them on. We want to play the best. We want to be considered, you know, in that conversation when we're talking about the best teams in the Western region. You know, losing that game against Humboldt State, we could have had a letdown. You know, the next game after that was Cal State Stanislaus, another top 25 team. We lost two games there where we were really eager to play. And, you know, we certainly could have had a letdown. We came back the next day, hit the ball well against Davis and Elkins, and then had some great pitching and defense against Cal State Dominguez Hills to start the season off 2-0. So, you know, we want to play those teams because we want to be, like I said, mentioned in that same conversation with those teams in the Western region that are considered in the top 10.
When we come back, we'll take a look at kind of the immediate schedule coming up for Montana State Billings as they get set to go on the road yet again. Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be right back with the third segment of the Coaches Show right after this.
Yellowstone County Implement, your John Deere dealer in Billings, is your headquarters for John Deere ag, lawn, and garden, compact and utility tractors, commercial mowing, and compact construction equipment. At Yellowstone County Implement, we back our equipment with a highly trained and experienced service staff and a huge parts inventory. Stop and see us at 5121 Midland Road, just east of the Holiday Inn, and find out why Yellowstone County Implement is the place to buy.
Ken Adelblue back with Tony Stone. Coming up this week, you've got on Saturday and Sunday, you've got a doubleheader against St. Martin's again, another GNAC opponent. And then the next week, you're at Western Washington. Just taking a look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm kind of going by memory here, which isn't that great with me anymore, but it seems like Western Washington, pretty solid club. St. Martin's struggling a little bit early. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you know, Western has, you know, been a very solid team in the past. There's no question about it. And they play very tough at home. They're a very good team at home. St. Martin's, you know, I think up and down, there is no gimme in the GNAC. They may be struggling right now, but even still, if you let down against a St. Martin's team, they're going to beat you. We played them in the Central Washington Invitational early on last season. They beat us 4-2. You know, Northwest Nazarene, they got picked to finish last in the conference. They beat Western Washington last weekend in a 3-2 ball game. So at no time can we ever let down against any team in the GNAC. So it's always going to be tough when you're out on the road playing any team because, you know, everybody in the GNAC is considered to be, you know, a team that you better play tough against. You better play hard. And so we don't want to go into it, you know, we don't want to go into any ball game thinking, oh, well, this is a win before we even play. I don't believe in that, and I don't want the girls to buy into that. But, you know, as far as playing, you know, St. Martin's and Western Washington, you know, it's an 8-game swing there that, you know, if we want to do some damage in the conference, then, you know, we've got to win those ball games and go into it with the mindset that whoever we play, it's going to be a tough game and we've got to play our best.
Yeah, it's interesting when you bring that up because I think when you particularly talk about softball or baseball, you know, I don't care, you know, how big of an underdog another team might be. You know, they have one pitcher that goes in there and just has an outstanding day, and all of a sudden, you know, they pick up a win. You have one bad inning, and that's the one thing, you know, is particularly in softball, you know, you have one bad inning. It's oftentimes tough to battle back. So there's really no room for error in softball. That's what I'm kind of trying to get at. I mean, you really have to be pretty solid every single inning, or that one inning you look back on and say, geez, we played six innings. You know what? That isn't good enough.
Yeah, and you have to play all seven. There's no doubt about it. You have to play all seven tough. And I think also one thing that we have to keep in mind is that, you know, it's one at a time. You know, you do have to play all seven innings, but approach it as it's one pitch at a time, one at bat at a time, one chance at a time. And I think that really helps us focus on, you know, playing our best. We've done it in the past where we've made the mistake of, you know, trying to put too much on us. We look at things from a very broad perspective, and you know that gets us into trouble. So you know, we preach a lot of one at a time and keeping things on that sort of level that, you know, allows us to accomplish what we want to accomplish and then move forward.
Do you already have and I suppose maybe it varies a little bit, but and I imagine a lot of coaches have different philosophies on this, but is your lineup pretty much already set, particularly when we talk about perhaps your pitching staff? Have you already got the rotation in set for the doubleheader coming, or for the two doubleheaders coming up? Or is that a situation where maybe you just kind of see how everyone's feeling that day and go that way?
Well, to be honest, we've got a lot of injuries right now. So to say that our lineup is set, not quite there yet, but I think we do know what we have in terms of, you know, seven of the nine starters. So that's a comfortable feeling. You know, as I said, we're looking for a couple of people, you know, to break out. And once they do, I think we're going to be a very tough team. But, you know, not quite set yet with 16 games, and we've still got, you know, 40, 45 games left, and it's a lot of games. And I think, you know, within the next, you know, 8 to 10, I think that's when we're going to start to emerge and find out, you know, who's going to be in the lineup on a routine basis. And, you know, it's also a good thing that we've got a pretty deep bench. If you're not in the game, that any time any one of those people on the bench can go in and make a solid contribution. So, you know, whether they're starting or they're on the bench, we say you always have a role, and you have to take that role seriously. And whatever role that is, you want to do it to the best of your ability. And, you know, we'll call on you when the time comes. I do a lot of pinch hitting. I do a lot of pinch running, a lot of strategy involved in the game. So, you know, at any time there could be nine starters, but 15 people might have played in that game.
Tony Stone, head coach of the Montana State Billings Yellow Jacket softball team. Best of luck to you this weekend against St. Martin's and the next week against Western Washington. Of course, we'll talk before then. And really looking forward to that home opener on March 13th against Northwest Nazarene.
All right. Thanks for having me, Ken.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Coaches Show, and we'll talk to you again.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.